Do join us in conversation on The Honest Truth. Our telephone line is on 0861 990 044. Now, painting a picture of what workplace toxicity could look like is Chief Executive Officer at the IHAF Training Institute, Devon Moonsami. Devon, good evening and thank you so much for joining us.
A very good evening to you, Benito, and good evening to the listeners as well.
Devon, how would you characterize a toxic work environment?
Yeah, you know, there are certain signs that we could look at as far as a toxic work environment is concerned, where some people perhaps have no boundaries at work. There are a little bit blurred lines in terms of what the policies are. And generally, people don't trust each other, and a feeling of anxiety when you get to work. So as an example, when one feels a knot in their stomach, where we're not free to communicate with other individuals, and we're feeling a rush of cortisol in the system. Cortisol, as we know, or some listeners may know, is a stress hormone or a stress chemical. So when those things are present in the work environment, or when you are at work, this could be a sign of what we call a toxic workplace.
And what are the pitfalls of such an environment, of engaging in such an environment?
In most cases, it would be low productivity. Now, we all know that businesses are there to be sustainable, to provide good services to their customers and other shareholders or people who utilize their products and services. And when productivity is low and people are feeling that morale is low and people are generally not looking forward to going into the workplace because of an anxiety or a pressure or not being able to communicate freely, then we find that there's high turnover. So people are looking for other jobs. Then your CVs out there. You're having water cooler discussions where you're talking about how bad the environment is. And this all speaks to a very toxic environment and an environment where people are simply put not happy to be there.
How would you just describe moral burnouts? One can understand burnouts, but what is moral burnout?
Now, moral burnout can be described as an outcome of being exposed to a toxic environment for long periods of time. So when a person feels that there's a regular injustice, so favoritism, so no consequences is an example for people deviating out of the policy, and if they're witnessing this type of behavior, one can feel marginalized, and then morally you feel like, you know, what am I doing here? Is this organization, are their values aligned to my values? And people ask questions like this. And what happens sometimes is people don't ask the question to the employer or they don't address it in the organization, usually when they get home and they talk to their partner or talk to their family members about it. They start questioning the organization. And then when they go back again, they put on their game face. And then they continue with work, but not addressing the real issue. And this is what we refer to as a moral burnout, where somebody is not necessarily aligned to what the business strategies are or what the values of the business represent. And when there's that misalignment, we find that there's also moral burnout that can occur.
So how can we be proactive? How can we prevent toxic work environments from even taking root? What needs to be done?
It's very important for senior, you know, management and executives in a business to do wellness assessments. You know, psychological safety is becoming a buzzword, and I think for good reason. It's important for us to feel psychologically safe within a business environment. A lot of people have this perception that, you know, I don't need to enjoy work. It's just there to put food on the table. Let me just get into the work environment, do what I'm supposed to do for 8 hours or 7 hours for the day, and then go home. This is not the best approach because the reality is we're spending bulk of our time within that corporate space or that work environment. And if there is no wellness assessment or no psychological safety, it's doing a lot of long-term harm. So when there's no dopamine around, when I say dopamine, a happy chemical in the system around job satisfaction, around me getting ahead, being rewarded as an employee. And all I'm feeling is high anxiety and a lot of cortisol in the system. Then I'm not enjoying it. It's a place that becomes, an environment that's almost bad for me. And then that's almost, a warning sign. It speaks to health degeneration as well. And I think that it's very important for senior executives and managers to recognize when this actually happens. And we do this through open communication and paying very careful attention in terms of what's happening in the business.
A workplace culture is also, I would presume, quite critical in also being quite proactive in preventing toxicity to take root in the workspace. Would you advocate for development of a culture custom naturally to respective operations?
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll find that some people talk about their work environment as being a safe place, as being a secure place where I can share ideas, where I'm able to express myself, and I thrive and I learn in my work environment. Then you have conversations with other people where the culture suggests that we cannot speak up. I'm just there to earn a salary. I'm looking for something else. My team members are not really team members. I can't really engage with them. Then we look at that culture and we look at an organization like that. And that's when we start, when we need to start changing the culture and changing the conversation in terms of how we engage with our people. That's when we know at our structured team forums, we've got to start addressing these issues.
Do you think the pandemic in one sense has brought this to the fore, particularly in the way we were forced to respond to the pandemic in changing our working habits and our changing our working routines, that suddenly issues that may not have been as prevalent have now suddenly come to life, bringing into question purpose, bringing into question quality of life, that these sorts of aspects may not be that easy, or let me rephrase it, is that toxicity at a work environment is something that many more are being conscious of.
Remember, post-pandemic, we're looking at change of policies. We had the code of conduct changing quite significantly.
Yes.
Also, people started changing the way in which they operated and function in terms of working from home versus working in an office space that we were normally accustomed to. When we're exposed to such radical change without the necessary support system for the team to embrace such change, then we do have a residue of anxiety, of people feeling a little bit tense in the work environment. So most certainly, we see it with changes in leadership structure as well. Not so much the pandemic. So if the leadership structures are changing quite frequently, if policies are changing quite frequently, or we could even say if there are retrenchments and Section 18 taking place in a business, then this could create an environment where I'm feeling insecure and unsafe, which could lead, which we could say then it's a toxic work environment. So all of these things play a serious integral role in determining whether an employee is happy at work or not.
Fostering a culture that promotes engagement, that promotes honest engagement is one thing, but how can one ensure that sort of culture sustains itself and to avoid complacency setting in?
Yeah, remember, most organizations are in it for the long haul. No business wants to talk about retrenchment and closing down shop. And a lot of the time, some senior leadership don't really see employee wellness as long-term sustainability. You know, people are supposed to come to work, do what they're supposed to do, get paid for it, and then leave. And unfortunately, this goes against the grain of long-term sustainability. We've got to talk about employee growth. We've got to talk about psychological safety, you know, gaslighting individuals in the workplace. And if we don't do this, then what we're suggesting is that the people are not important in the business. And when your people are not important, then unfortunately we talk about degeneration of the business. Remember, it's people that fundamentally make an organization. So when turnover is high and productivity is high, it means your people are happy. And that's actually the aftermath of happiness in an organization. So what we've got to look at is really now embracing and engaging and now starting to talk about these things and not necessarily shying away from it.
Put another way, a satisfied worker increases the margin, Devin.
Oh, absolutely. We think about all of us, anything we put complete heart and soul into. And when I say heart and soul, I'm talking about a level of energy, enthusiasm, happiness as we approach a customer, happiness as we approaching our administrative work. Then we see the output. And the reward and recognition is even better. And then we see it in the bottom line result as well. Then everybody generally, we create a happier, more sustainable work environment.
Devin Moonsalmy, Chief Executive Officer at the iChaft Training Institute. Appreciate you joining us this evening on The Honest Truth. Devin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.